180 degrees. Good morning, Columbus, Ohio. Here's a quick podcast specifically for Columbus, Ohio. Mail handlers, you have to stay mindful and aware that your work environment is going through a transformation shift. Now, let me tell you what I see. And then please respond back as you feel necessary. I see management changing the traffic pattern inside the building, and I see mail handlers already trying to figure out a way around what management has done. Mail handlers, look, you have got to stop that. Now, today while operating pit equipment, I looked inside of a tray that sits up on the battery area, and I found a one-way aisle newsletter update. Now, I got to tell you, no one has ever given me the service talk, but I seen it, and since we all understand that our job is really horrible at relaying or transferring information from one level to the next, I figured I seen this, and I'm going to take it upon myself to make you aware of what should be going on in Columbus, Ohio. This is updated October 22nd, 2019, one-way aisles. The objective, starting on October 12, 2019, Columbus PNDC began one-way aisles in sections of the building. These one-way aisles are to accommodate safety standards when operating a vehicle and towing alongside AGVs, autonomous guided vehicles. Let me start off by telling you, Columbus, Ohio, we no longer have AGVs. We now have VGVs, visual guided vehicles. Procedure. The aisles designated as one-way are marked on the floor with arrows indicating the path of travel. There are signs that are posted at intersections directing where to turn and not enter. Any vehicle that is operated by a person must follow these one-way aisle rules. This includes pit equipment, yellow carts, and bikes. Again, any vehicle that is operated by a person, come on, mail handlers, that cannot be any clearer. Foot traffic can continue to travel in any direction. Be mindful of vehicles moving around you as you enter and exit aisleways. This includes people pushing MTE or mail. These traffic rules are to be followed by all employees at Columbus PNDC, including operators, in-plant support, maintenance, and transportation. The resources, if you have any questions about an aisle or path, let your supervisor know. Maps of the building will be stocked in the tour office for your use. Now, I'm just going to make this very simple. They have arrows on the floor, they being the agency. They have one-way signs posted. They have directional signs all over the building. All I'm going to say to you is this. I understand we are creatures of habit. You have to relearn the traffic pattern. If you find if at any point you find yourself going down a one-way street, think about it just as if you're in traffic. Well, I'm going to pull over immediately and begin to flow in the correct direction of traffic. Mail handlers, we have to concentrate on this because you know what this is? This is what you call F1 training. See, this is what no other union officials are in Local 304, this information isn't being put out to you. This is how you establish your work environment so that no matter when they come in, or no matter when they select that random week for your F1, if you work within the standards all the time, then it won't make a difference. Well, excuse me, it won't make as much of a difference. So what I'm asking is, we have a new process going into play. Now, all I'm asking you to do is embrace the process. If you find yourself going the wrong way, then reverse and go the right way. Stop looking to cut through aisles. That's not what this is about. You know, it's funny. Now you have mail handlers looking to take shortcuts, and then when management gives you additional duties, then you want to complain to the union that it's unfair. Listen, right now, while this new operation, new procedure is going into play, right now is the time that we embrace it and do it the right way from the beginning. Because what I see is you've already started cutting in and out of aisles. You've already started reducing your traffic pattern in an unsafe manner in a lot of cases. But what I see is now you are reducing your travel time. Management is going to get used to your reduced travel time. And when they take that random week for your F1 out, now you're going to get reduced work hours and work positions. And then you're going to be screaming about the F1. No, let's do F1 work right now, every day. And with respect to the AGVs, employees in Columbus, Ohio, please keep your eyes wide open. Because let me tell you what has transpired already. First, we have these, what I consider illegal or inappropriate group leader bids. And that whole crew went out to Florida, meant to Las Vegas. No, they went out to Portland, Oregon for a week vacation. Now we come back, the company is here to train on the VGVs. And what I noticed now is every group leader in the building today went for training on the VGVs. Now, you gotta see what you're about to be set up for. You have to see that there's a bid job for group leader for VGVs, AGVs, whatever you wanna call them. But when they did training on them today, all group leaders were invited to that training. And all week, all group leaders are being invited or being trained. Now, let me tell you something, so you don't get lulled to sleep here. When the post office spends training time, 2532 documented training on you, they are expecting something from you. And you being trained and going to be latently responsible for these VGVs, AGVs, or whatever they call them, is not a part of your bid, but I can see right now they are about to build that into the bids coming into Columbus, Ohio, and we seem to be walking with our eyes wide shut as we follow this nonsense, and I see zero pushback from your union on this. I want you to know, as your local president and as your branch president, there will be major pushback because this just is not fair, it's not correct, and it is outside of what I consider bid responsibilities inside your job assignment. You see, Columbus, Ohio, this type of responsibility I wholeheartedly accept, and I'm aware that a lot of you don't even follow it. And let me tell you, it's okay. But what I need you to follow is the election process, because I need you to vote Kenny Hodge, because I keep up with this so that you don't have to. I just want to answer a question that an employee asked me on the work floor today with respect to makeup overtime. Let me tell you something right now, from now to the first of the year, it's pretty much going to be impossible to get makeup overtime. You have to understand, I'm basically talking to our newer employees. When management schedules you to work overtime and says it's makeup overtime, well, there's a little more to it than that. The fact that you're on makeup overtime, you cannot be scheduled for overtime when in rotation, it's your turn to come in for overtime. They call it makeup. No, that's not what makeup overtime is. Makeup overtime, to put it in layman's term, is you're coming in when no one else is because they owe you 8 hours of overtime, 2 hours of overtime, and rather than pay you for nothing, they're going to bring you in and find something for you to do. Please understand that. Just because management calls it makeup overtime doesn't make it makeup overtime. Makeup overtime must fit into a criteria. And I want to answer another question that was put to me at work today. And it appears that a lot of the members in Columbus, well, I won't say a lot, some of the members in Columbus have a concern when it comes to electing me as your branch president. And the concern is, if I elect him again, is he even going to be allowed to do his job? So I kind of fault my current local president because his actions now drift over into attempting to damage my progression in the union. But I say to the members in Columbus, Ohio, I need your vote. More importantly, in the local election, because we take away the opportunity from anyone perverting your vote as it has been done in the past. And what I mean by that is simply, I was elected by you to do a job, and I was deterred from doing that job in a process I still consider unconstitutional. So this is how we get around that whole issue. Vote Kenny Hodge, local president. Allow me to replace Bip McLemore as your current local president, and watch how this union will flourish. And when I talk about how your work environment is changing, mail handlers, I'm talking right now directly on tour two, because that's the tour I work, and this is very evident to me that the MDOs have no concept of what a bid is. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it like I feel it. And the MDOs and the SDOs feel comfortable just asking you to do anything in your bid, outside of your bid. And I'm going to say this, we have to stop that. And how do we stop that? Again, never am I telling you to disobey instructions. We just got to really be more adamant about swiping, making a move to do that work outside your bid that you are so consistently being asked to do. And again, as mail handlers, if we don't stand up to that right now, they're going to rebuild that back into the operating procedure. And there's a reason why we have bids. There's a reason why we have a bid process. Your bid job is your primary job. And because we are being asked, again, rather politely, to step outside of our bids consistently, then we have to start asking for an operation code that you want me to move to take care of whatever assignment that you're giving me to do outside of my bid. And let me say, I understand wholeheartedly that's an arduous task. I get that. But at some point, we have to stop that because, again, every day we go to work, if once you find out the right way to work, now listen, not the right way to get the job done, the right way you're supposed to work, then what we do is we work F1 every day. See, this is that training that nobody in Local 304 is providing to the members. They may wanna, but that their skill set don't allow them to do it. But see, I've got that skill set that's telling you, this is how you're supposed to work. This is how we have to get used to working every day, and then we protect our jobs. Now, I'm going back to the VGVs. Heavy mail time. Mail is all over that building right now. And what Columbus has decided to do, again, they like to put that on headquarters, but I've been around long enough to know better than that, is introduce those VGVs right in your heavy mail season. Mail handlers, listen, listen, listen. When you get stuck behind that VGV, I mean, don't drive unsafe. Just wait for somebody, one of the group leaders, to come over and get it moving. Don't get agitated because you can't move with the speed and precision that you're used to moving. Again, sometimes we have to take a couple of steps backward in order to leap forward. And one favor to ask, we have a Tour 3 employee who comes in every day on overtime. puts herself on higher level, and I say puts herself because there is no supervisor back there to authorize it, on overtime. But here's where the issue comes in. Then you come over and start dispatching mail for the flat unit from the apps to the flat unit. Well, there are bid drivers or bid employees over on the apps. And when you come in early from the flat unit and come over to do the job of an apps employee, you take overtime from the right section or group. And I'm going to ask that you curtail that activity. Stop doing that. It sets a real bad taste when overtime is being regulated, that you would come in on overtime from another department to do work in a unit that maybe that list isn't maxed out. It's just a bad practice, and if you could stop doing that, that would be wonderful. In fact, when you now build into the flat operation that you come over to the apps to pick up mail, see, that's not how that operation goes. And as an employee, when you do it with enough regularity, now management expects that, and that's two separate operations. And could you at least look at what I'm saying, and if there's any truth to it, can you stop doing that, please? Kenny Hodge, Saturday morning, remember, 180 degrees, vote Ken Hodge. You will not be disappointed.